This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, April 17th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ban on PFAS pesticides clears committee. Ban on foreign ag buyers fails. And commerce eases tariffs on Russian phosphate. Debate sharpens over banning PFAS pesticides. Lawmakers advanced AB 1603 this week. It's a sweeping proposal phasing out by 2035 pesticides containing, quote, forever chemicals known as PFAS. It would also prohibit a subset of 23 chemicals starting in 2030 while restricting current uses beginning in 2028. During a hearing, Assemblymember Nick Schultz of Burbank argued the aggressive timeline is necessary given the mounting evidence of harm. The bill's sponsors, the Environmental Working Group and the Pesticide Action and Agroecology Network, pointed to the persistence of PFAS in the environment and links to immunotoxicity and the contamination of food and water supplies. They claimed exposure through agriculture raises a unique concern because residues can reach consumers directly. CropLife America and other opponents warn the proposal moves too broadly and too quickly. They caution that PFAS play a role in pesticide performance and stability, and alternatives may not yet be fully developed. They raise concerns about losing critical pest management tools and the lack of clarity around which products would ultimately be restricted. A proposal to block certain foreign entities from owning California farmland drew bipartisan skepticism this week, lawmakers questioning how the policy would be enforced and whether it could lead to discrimination. GOP Senator Stephen Choi of Irvine said SB 1176 is needed to address national security risk, citing federal data showing foreign entities own about 1.4 million acres of California agriculture land. The bill would bar governments and businesses tied to the countries identified as adversaries by federal intelligence officials from acquiring or leasing ag land. Placer County supervisors and other supporters argue the measure provides a clear and enforceable framework to protect land near critical infrastructure like water systems and energy corridors. But committee members pressed Choi on who would be responsible for verifying buyers and how sellers or brokers could detect straw buyers masking foreign ownership. Others raised concerns about potential discriminatory impacts. Despite acknowledging those issues and pledging amendments, Choi's bill fell short on a 2-4 vote, though it was granted reconsideration. A proposal to curb nitrogen runoff from agriculture sparked a debate in the Assembly this week, with supporters touting water quality benefits and farm groups warning of crippling compliance burdens. AB 2447 aims to tighten oversight of nitrogen discharges that can contaminate groundwater and drinking supplies. Assemblymember Rebecca Bauer-Hahn of Orinda, a progressive lawmaker often at odds with farm groups, argued the measure is needed to address long-standing pollution issues, particularly in regions where nitrate contamination has impacted domestic wells and disadvantaged communities. Tess Dunham, water attorney for Con Soars and Conway, who wields a deep background in groundwater issues, led the opposition. She raised concerns over the cost and feasibility of new requirements, warning the measure could add pressure on growers already facing tight margins and a complex regulatory landscape. She also emphasized the need for flexible, region-specific approaches rather than one-size-fits-all mandates. GOP Assemblymember Stan Ellis of Bakersfield, he's a hog farmer, turned quantum physicist, agreed with Dunham, raising red flags over affordability. He described the problem as an economics issue, saying if it wasn't for nitrogen, we'd be lucky to get a quarter of a crop. The bill advanced along a party line vote. The Commerce Department says Russia's joint stock company, a subsidiary of Foss Agro, will face slightly reduced countervailing duties on its phosphate fertilizer as a part of the annual review. Commerce has determined that government subsidies warrant a new subsidy rate of 12.71%, a slight decrease from last year's 18.21% for the company. JSC Apatit has some 80% of the market share in Russia, that according to the International Fertilizer Industry Association, and is one of the country's main exporters. Agriculture groups have been pushing to lift the countervailing duties on both Russian and Moroccan phosphate to ease price pressures. Although Commerce has determined JSC Apatit is still receiving subsidies, the findings did not affect the outcome of a five-year review currently underway. That review is looking into whether domestic industry will be harmed by lifting the tariffs. Former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Food and Agriculture Organization, Kip Thom, said earlier this week that the U.S. should examine lifting the duties. U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer will be in Mexico next week for talks on a North American free trade agreement ahead of a review later this year, he said during a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing yesterday. Meanwhile, lawmakers have mounted a message offensive on the deal's benefits to food and agriculture industries. On Wednesday, a bipartisan group of more than 40 senators, including Senate Ag Committee Chair John Bozeman and Ranking Member Amy Klobuchar, wrote to Greer to tout the deal's benefits. More than 100 House lawmakers inked a similar letter in November. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said at a hearing yesterday that there simply was not room for hops and mint in the $1 billion aid package for specialty crops. Responding to a question from Representative Dan Newhouse of Washington, Rollins said she loves hops and mint as much as anyone, but the priority needs to be real food like berries, broccoli, and apples. Washington boasts a wide range of specialty crops. USDA's provided $12 billion in an aid package, $11 billion of which is dedicated to row crops. Rollins told the House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee, quote, "We kind of duct taped and bubble gummed that $12 billion together." House Ag Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson told AgriPulse Wednesday he wants an additional $20 billion in aid for farmers this year, half of that going to specialty crop growers. Here's today's final word. This is a meaningful outcome for growers. That's a word of Dusty Ferentz, executive director of the Keynes County Farm Bureau, responding to a court decision blocking the State Water Board from collecting SGMA fees or imposing penalties on the Tulare Lake Subbasin as Farm Bureau's case against the board plays out. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, April 17th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jock Alley.